Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
TK. I like this, TK. I like that. Yeah, it's the Mavericks, all up by action. Don't do no acting, no Samuel Jackson. Dirk get the ball, you know that it's magic. Post move deadly, yeah, get tragic. Luke with the ball, yeah, get nasty. He'll drop 30, don't gotta ask him.
Luka with the step back 3. Oh, yeah!
Boy, Chris Stapps, looking like Duncan Nash in the gap. They just want a ring, want to fit the gap. On your team head, I ain't talking heads. Dang, I relax, still at the champ. Defense still coming with the calibus flow. The man's the best on the flow. I'm wild, but yeah, I'm the GOAT. This
game. How's it going, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I am rejoined now by my co-host and Dallas basketball on SI colleague, Matt Glatson. The Dallas Mavericks... they had a very, very active NBA draft night. You know, early on, Matt, it looked like the way things were going, there wasn't going to be much going on, and there was only like one trade before they got to the Mavs pick at number 18, I believe. And then at 18, they end up drafting Josh Green out of Arizona. And earlier this morning, I had our guy Richard Stamen on at Mavs Draft on Twitter. And Josh Green was the number one prospect on his Mavs draft board for number 18. And they ended up getting him. I posted a clip, you know, of what Richard said about Green earlier today. Y'all need to go listen to it because it has me pumped, man. I mean, this guy is an unbelievable defensive prospect, but yet he also has the ability, you know, to drive and finish, and he can shoot the ball too. He's an excellent 3-and-D prospect, and he's a guy that could potentially help from day one. So that's how the night got started for the Mavs. Matt, what are your thoughts on Josh Green?
I mean, as we all know, I haven't really spent too much time on draft prep this year and I'm sorry guys, my phone's gonna keep going off because I have Woj and Sham.
It's been that way all night.
But I mean, I didn't do a lot of draft prep this year, but from what I've heard, Josh Green is exactly what they needed. I trust Richard, he's a smart guy, so if he thinks he was number one on the board, I believe him. I watched a little tape, you know, some highlights before we jumped on here to get kind of a feel for what he was like. And he looks pretty exciting. I mean, he fills everything the Mavs need, man. It's a good pick. It's a great pick. And then, you know, everything that happened afterwards, we'll get to, but from my outside eye or my inside eyes, my biased eyes, I guess, I think the Mavs might've won the draft.
I mean, they had a very, very good draft, and look, we all wanted – and Josh Green, he's a guy that when Richard – he posted his first mock draft like a month and a half ago on DallasBasketball.com. And in that mock draft, I believe he had Josh Green going to the Mavs in that one too. And that's really where I was first sold on him, because that's – I started watching his highlights and, you know, looking into him more than what I had before that. And that's really where I was sold on him. So, and I mean, I wanted Desmond Bain. I think a lot of people did, but
I have a take on that, by the way.
But Josh Green, he's a guy that I have wanted for a while, for, you know, a couple of months at least. And I just honestly didn't think he would make it all the way down to 18. So like we said, he's a tenacious defender. That's one of the big things about him. His measurements are, you know, he has a big wingspan. I think he's like 6'6", if I'm not mistaken. Super athletic, very high motor, which is, I mean, it's just exactly what this team needs. So, and then you have him playing with Luka Doncic, so you know there's going to be like a little bit of an uptick in his shooting progression. So that's always fun, but I think they hit a home run with Josh Green with pick number 18. And then, you know, like you said, They did great the rest of the way too, because we got to pick number 31, and they ended up drafting Tyrell Terry out of Stanford, and he's 6'3". He's a really good 3-point shooter. I honestly don't know much about, you know, his defense, but from what I can tell, the Terry pick at 31, Matt, was kind of like, you know, in hindsight, it was kind of like a foreshadowing of the move that was about to come next. What do you think?
Well, it was funny because they picked that guy, and I was writing the story for 105.3 The Fan, which is my other job, everyone knows. And I was kind of just like, wow, you know, I'm reading a scouting report on this guy, and the comps in the scouting report were rich man Seth Curry and poor man Steph Curry. And I was like, well, damn, I mean, they're either going to have a lot of shooters or Seth might be on the move. And then literally like a minute later, the trade comes through and it's Josh Richardson and the 36th pick for Seth Curry. And Seth goes to Philadelphia, where he's, you know, going to be with his father-in-law, which is fun for him. But, I mean, it sounds like the Mavs just had decided on that trade before even the 31st pick happened. And then they were like, all right, we'll take this guy, and then we're going to go get Josh Richardson, and off we go. And,
yeah,
you know, it's funny because I'm currently reading a scouting report of Josh Green from the same website, and his NBA comparison is Josh Richardson. Which, yes. Hell yeah. Like, I'll take that all day. So if he can be that, I mean, this team desperately needed wing athleticism and defense and shooting, and they got two of those guys, and Josh Green, Josh Richardson, and an elite shooter, apparently, which this one scouting report I read called the most electric 3-point shooter in the NBA draft, in Tyrell Terry. So I'm ecstatic right now, absolutely ecstatic.
And look, we can't sleep on that number 36 pick too. They got Tyler Bay, you know, the second Bay in this draft. You know, Sadiq Bay, he was, you know, he got most of the hype, but Tyler Bay, he's a 6'7" forward, 220 pounds,
and 7'1" wingspan.
7'1" wingspan. He is an incredible defender. And you can go to at Mavs Draft to Richard Stamen's Twitter page on there, and he's posted a lot of stuff about Tyler Bay too. Just, he has like a minute long highlight reel of just crazy defensive plays that Tyler Bay has made. So
yeah, he averaged 1.2 blocks per game, 1.5 steals per game. Really long, really athletic. I mean, it's an incredible draft for the Mavericks. They got everything they needed. Shut up, Woj.
It's not just Woj. It's everything right now.
It's insane. I'm sorry. I have to have the notifications on in case something else happens. Otherwise, I would mute it. I promise, guys. Sorry. But this has been, you know, as we were going through the draft and it got to 18, so many people were preaching Desmond Bane, Desmond Bane, Desmond Bane. And I was like, all right, cool. I don't really know anything about anybody really. So, you know, why not? And then I started hearing about it, and everybody freaked out that Desmond Bane wasn't at 18. And they picked Josh Green. Well, a lot of people did, not everybody. A lot of us were very happy. And so then Desmond Bane started falling and started falling and started falling. And it was like, wow, we could get both of these guys. And then everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing about Desmond Bane is obviously he fell for a reason. You know, he's a little older of a prospect, I guess, and he fell all the way down to number 30. So if the Mavs would have taken him in 18, it seems like that would have been a bit of a reach.
Yeah, it would have. And, I mean, look, from just a shooting perspective, I do believe that Desmond Bane was probably – he was right there with Neesmith as probably the best shooters in this draft. That said, Josh Green, just his upside is so much higher than Desmond Bane. You know, I mean, the measurements there, like I said, he has an endless motor, as good of a, you know, 3-point shooter as Desmond Bane is. And, you know, he tries real hard on defense. He's a plus defender. but, you know, he had a negative wingspan. I'm not trying to you know, down Bane. I'm just saying there is so much more upside with Green, and it's more of what the Mavs need. And, look, when you have a guy like, you know, Richard, who came on earlier, he's like the biggest Desmond Bane fan, like, ever. you know what I mean? Like, we've talked to him. We talked with him on Twitter and in our DallasBasketball.com text thread and all that. But he's, like, the biggest Desmond Bane guy ever. And he still put Josh Green first on the Mavs big board for pick number 18. So that should tell you, you know, what a steal this could potentially be for the Mavs. But,
yeah. You
know, as far as Josh Richardson goes, though, you know, he didn't really fit in Philadelphia. You know, he had an off shooting year after shooting 38% from three in Miami 2 years ago, and then 36% from three last year. It was only 34 this past season. But in Philadelphia, there was zero spacing. They had no shooting. So I just think,
I mean, Richardson was one of their best shooters.
Yeah, and he was that's the thing. He was one of their best shooters. And, you know, he only shot 34%, but I don't think that's a knock on his ability. I think that's more of a product of what, you know, system Philly is playing in and the pieces that he had around him there. So he's going from that to playing with Luka and KP and a bunch of other guys that can shoot. He's going to be that Miami Heat Josh Richardson, if not better. I mean, I'm super excited about this, Matt. The Mavs, they knew what their biggest weakness was going in tonight, and they addressed it more than what we thought they would. Like, this team has some defenders now, and I think that's scary for the rest of the league.
Yeah. I mean, look, we all know
– they're not done.
No, they're not. I mean, this team's biggest weakness this season, we all know it. It was wing depth. It was it was defense on the wings. It was guarding guys like Kawhi. It was guarding guys like Jamal Murray. It was guarding guys like LeBron. I mean, nobody can guard those guys, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So now, instead of Justin Jackson and then, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith having to do way too much, you bring in Josh Green, who is a bulldog and, you know, has that high drive, and you bring in Josh Richardson, who does the same thing, and you bring in Tyler Bay, who's the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, I just learned. I mean, it's – you filled your biggest need. And did you go out there and did you get a star yet? No. But Josh Richardson's only $10 million a year.
Yep.
And he's got 2 years left on his deal. So,
and he's got a play – it's a player option for next year. And, you know, depending on how – and I think he will definitely play better than what he did in Philly. I think we'll get more of that Miami Josh Richardson in Dallas. And if that happens, more than likely he'll opt out next offseason. So, you just cleared – let's see, Seth was making $9 million a year for the next 2 or 3 years. So, you just cleared $9 million more off your books for next summer – if you're going to, you know, chase somebody. Obviously, that's not the biggest takeaway from this, but it is a potential, you know, upside on how it could help the Mavs later down the line too. So,
you know, what I've learned over the last – I mean, last year was kind of a wash, I guess. What did we even do in the draft last year? I can't remember. Did we do anything?
We had the number 37 pick, and instead of drafting Bol-Bol, we traded down – to the number 45 pick Roby. And took Isaiah Roby.
Right, okay. So we're just going to discount that year. But two out of the last 3 years.
Home runs.
Donnie has been cooking. My big takeaway from these last three seasons, if I'm the Mavericks, is y'all get the hell out of the way and let Donnie cook.
Yeah.
Please.
Give him
let
the kitchen.
Let him do his thing. Because when he does his thing, this is the kind of stuff that happens. And I'm ecstatic. I'm absolutely ecstatic.
And like I said, look, this is just the draft. I mean, this is just Wednesday. And we have, you know, You don't know what you know what position Josh Richardson plays. Tim Hardaway Jr.'s position. So yeah. I mean, and Tim Hardaway Jr., he hasn't opted in or opted out yet. That deadline is tomorrow. There could be another trade in the works. I mean, you know, the stuff we've talked about, Victor Oladipo, Zach LaVine, you know, guys like that, there's possibilities, there's trade possibilities out there that seem a lot more realistic now than they did about 3 hours ago, you know? So, yeah. I don't know. And look, I'm not saying they need to go out and trade all these guys they just drafted. I'm just saying, you know, it seems like if they wanted to make another move like that, it's more possible now. And then we're going into free agency Friday, and at the very least, they're going to have the full MLE to spend, which is around $9 million. So,
right. So think about what the Mavs started last season. Give me a starting lineup the Mavs fielded last season that you thought was pretty good, just off the top of your head.
Luka, either Seth or Tim Hardaway Jr., Dorian Finney-Smith, KP, and I can't think of
somebody. And Maxey. We'll say Maxey.
Yeah, we'll say Maxey.
Okay, so next year, potentially, even if nothing else changes, potentially you have and let's also consider that off the bench you had, you know, Jalen Brunson until he got hurt, and then Trey Burke, and then you had Justin Jackson, and then you had DeLon Wright, and then, you know, all these guys that we weren't very fond of, right?
Right.
I mean, Brunson has a bright future. Well, you know, that's nothing against him, but just hear me out here. So next season, you have the potential to field a starting lineup, even if nothing else happens, of Luka, Tim Hardaway Jr., Josh Richardson, Dorian Finney-Smith, and KP. That's a good defensive team, if you it ask is. Me. And then, you know, you could have and he can score. It's very athletic. It can do a lot of things. And then you can have Josh Green coming off the bench, eventually becoming a starter. You know, maybe you trade Tim Hardaway Jr. at the trade deadline next year or something. I don't know. But all of a sudden you have so much more flexibility with what you can do going forward, and your team is so much more athletic and has so much more potential on the defensive end. I mean, it's really exciting, man.
Yeah. And at the very least, you know, these guys, they have potential and they have the skill set to succeed playing with Luka. And that's one of the biggest things, because you have this collection of new assets now. So at the very least, you know, those guys perform well, and, you know, you got three guys now on very team-friendly rookie deals. And so now you have more assets. So if it comes down to it and there's a opportunity to make a big splash, a big trade, you know, before the trade deadline or even next season, you have more assets now. And that's a big takeaway. That's a very least kind of thing. But I don't think they'll have to do that with Josh Green. I think he's going to end up being, you know, really, really good. I don't know much about Tyrell Terry, admittedly. I do know he's a good shooter. I've seen a couple highlights. I don't know much about him, though. I know more about Tyler Bay than I do about Tyrell Terry. And I'm really high on him. So I'm just ecstatic, Matt. I've wanted them to add wing depth since last year. You know, Brunson ended up being a good pick. I know they took the best player available there. They could have really used him in the postseason, that secondary ball handler. But even last year, I really, you know, wanted them to draft a wing there. But, man, did they make up for it in this draft? And that's two drafts ago I'm talking about, not last year. Last year was a wash. But, I mean, that they more than made up for it. I'm excited to see where it goes from here. And like we said, it's not over yet. We still have free agency. So
I mean, think about what you could do here. No, think about what you could do here. We're not signing off yet. Think about what you could do here. say you want to move Tim Hardaway Jr. Potentially, I'm just saying potentially, this doesn't mean this is going to happen. Potentially, you bring Tim Hardaway Jr. back on his player option or whatever, and you trade him. I don't know how that works. Whatever, they trade him, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you can trade him and whatever future pick or whatever you need. Maybe one of these guys, like, you know, maybe Bay, I don't know. Doesn't have, we don't have to. Don't worry about it. Maybe you go get Danilo Gallinari and you have Danilo Gallinari and Josh Richardson and Luka and Josh Green and Dorian Finney-Smith and KP and Tyrell Terry and, you know, Jalen Brunson and all these guys. I mean, that's just one thing they could do, to assign and trade to get Gallinari. I mean, it's possible.
I mean, we know how – we've learned how much OKC enjoys collecting first-round picks. At this point, I don't think it even matters, like, what year the pick is, as long as Sam Presti's getting his precious first-round pick. So, if it came down to it – because before the draft, you know, there was a rumor that came out that the Mavs were talking to the Thunder about trading that number 18 pick to do a sign and trade for Gallinari. They didn't do it, and in hindsight, I think that was, you know, the right thing to do, because you could go back now and do it and, you know, not have to give up that much. I think they could offer the nearest first round pick they can offer now without giving up, you know, Josh Green, obviously, would be the 2025 first round pick. And you could do that lottery protected too. So, I mean, if Danilo
Gallinari – I don't think he'll be in the lottery in 2025. Don't worry.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, the thing with this is what we've been talking about with Giannis next offseason if he doesn't sign his extension. If a guy wants to play for your team, he's going to find a way to play for your team. If Danilo Gallinari says, I want to play for the Mavericks, they're going to get it done. You know, it doesn't matter what, you know, if Sam Presti, you know, he's going to lose Gallinari for nothing regardless. He's not staying in OKC. So you have to figure if Gallinari really wants to play for the Mavs, that it's going to get done. And that Sam Presti was just trying to play hardball on draft night and it didn't work. And so, I mean, they could revisit that later and you could have a lesser package going back to OKC to get that sign and trade done. So that would be amazing. And like I said, you could even if they did a sign and trade for Gallinari, you'd still be able to do something else in free agency.
Dragic,
Jay Crowder. I mean, there's just so much more that this team can do to improve. And they after being idle for the first 2 days of this week, I think they knocked it out of the park on draft night. But yeah,
this got me really excited, by the way. So I think it's safe to say that we're both fans of Kevin O'Connor at the Ringer's work, correct?
Yes.
I think he's very smart. He knows what he's talking about. The Ringer can be a little weird sometimes, but they do good work, especially at the NBA.
Absolutely.
And especially Kevin O'Connor. And he just tweeted, I guess this might have been a few minutes ago, but he tweeted, Tyrell Terry going to the Dallas Mavericks with the 31st pick is the steal of the draft.
Man.
So I'm clicking it right now, so if the sound starts playing, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. But, I mean, he sounds pretty high on this guy. Okay, it's just a link to a story. But he sounds pretty high on the guy. I'm going to go and read it in a bit. But
given that I didn't know much about Tyrell Terry before this, and I obviously still don't, it makes me feel good to hear that. You know, a guy that is probably a lot smarter than I am with, you know, draft prospects saying something like that. I mean, I don't know if he'll be the steal of the draft, but I tend to believe that the Mavs, you know, hit a home run with that pick. And I don't think it's a coincidence that once they knew Tyrell Terry was going to be there at 31 and they made that pick, it was almost instantly after that that Seth Curry got shipped to Philly. So I don't think that's a coincidence at all.
No, it's not. It was absolutely planned. Let Donnie cook, man. Yeah. Let him cook.
Well, this team just got a whole lot better. They addressed their biggest needs. It was bench. It was wing depth. It was defense. And, you know, they still have some dynamic playmaking and shot making in there too. So, overall, great draft night for the Mavs. And we're not done this week, y'all. We have been, you know, churning these pods out one after the other. Probably going to end up with at least one more, maybe two, depending on what what goes on over the weekend. But I mean, it's been fun so far. I think it was you know, for nothing to happen on Monday and Tuesday, I think it more than made up for it tonight. So I'm really excited. But anything else you want to add before we take off tonight?
No, I heading into the night, I was pretty pessimistic because unless they made a trade, because I haven't had a lot of faith in their draft history, but tonight they knocked it out of the park and they proved me 100% wrong. And I'm eating crow as we speak. I just put it in the microwave. So,
oh man, I'm going to sleep good tonight, man.
Definitely. But,
all right. Well, look, guys, that's going to do it for another episode. I hope you are just as excited as we are. If you're not, please go look up these guys that the Mavs drafted and, you know, watch these highlights and read more about them, and you'll see what we see, hopefully. And then go watch how Josh Richardson played, you know, when he was in Miami too, because I really do think that this draft night couldn't have gone any better for the Mavs without them, you know, trading up or anything like that. So it's been great. It's been fun. It's not over yet. We still have free agency on Friday starting at 5:00 Central Time as soon as I get off work. So we will be seeing you guys probably, you know, pretty soon as Friday night, maybe. So,
yeah, in that case, I'm going to have to probably call in because I will actually be on the road. But we'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah. Well, depending on what happens, we will find a way. But, guys, we appreciate it. Please be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite platforms. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review there. Really helps us out. And we really appreciate it. You guys have a great night. We'll see you soon.
Take a step back, reminiscing about the old days when I hooped outside with my friends and drunk that OJ. Crossover doing step backs in a pair of J's. These days I'm about my chips like a bag of Lay's. I ain't lying when I tell you people ain't the same. How you real when you sell your soul for the fame? Do anything for a dollar. I'ma stay patient cause I know God promised me a lot of. Looked up to Dirk and MJ instead of blue collar. Excited at the idea of being a true baller. Riding in the Benz, a Copper Impala. Feeling like I made it, now they tryna holler. This how we thinking life's supposed to be. Media keeping all my friends close to me. Feeding me all the lies and propaganda in my eyes. I've been here forever, they thinking that I just arrived. Now step back and go on more of a letter. I treat this rap game like it's target practice. And I ain't even got an aim in my seeing headshots just for saying my name. Now I'm 18, they say I'm acting different. Labels call my phone, but I'm lacking interest. Ain't talked to my friends in a while. Ain't smiled like this in a while.